when the prophetic goes out, when the prophetic is spoken, lives will be changed, direction will be given, instruction will be made, but it calls for our heart of obedience. So let everyone, Heavenly Father, who is in this house, look to you, O God, the author and the finisher of our faith, that the words that will be spoken will be useful in our lives, and we will obey every command that has been spoken, so that we may receive the blessings that come with obedience. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed.
Thank you. In this time way of attitude in prayer, we're going to continue. I take my reading from Mark chapter 2, verse number 21 and 22. And I read, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away the old, making the tear worse." Verse number 22. "No one pours new wine into old wine skins. Otherwise, the wine will burst. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skin, and both the wine and the wine skin will be ruined. No one pours new wine into an old. No one pours new wine into new wine skin. No, they pour new wine into new wine skins." Amen. We're going to pray as in this dispensation that God will make our bodies the new wineskin to accommodate that glory, that power that His promises bring in our midst, that we will be able to hold it and do that which He, God, has ordained us to do. Shall we begin to pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. This is our time, the year of promise, O God, the year of promise of power and of wealth. Father, as vessels, O Lord, we pray this morning that, Lord, you will cleanse us, O Lord, make us into a new wineskin. That, Lord, as you pour out your blessings, your power in us, O God, we will be able to accommodate, O Lord. We will be able to stand that treasure that you ministering into us, O Lord. We pray that as a church of God and as individuals, Lord, you grant us that grace, O Lord, and sanctify our body. Father, sanctify our hearts, our mind, and our souls. Father, for that unction that you are pouring into us, you have deposited the Lord in us, O Lord. We pray that, Lord, we will be able to contain everything of pride that will arise in our body. Anything that will hinder that pouring of the wine into the new wineskin, O Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will sanctify the body. You will cleanse us, O Lord. Even as this day your word comes forth, Lord, the word will come in power and in manifestation. That, Lord, your word will lay on a good heart and bear the good fruit, O Lord. As the sower went to sow, Lord, he went sowing seeds. Some fell on stony grounds. Some fell onto hearts. Soil that was fertile and bear fruit of 100, of 60, and 30-fold. Therefore, Father, we pray this morning that let your glory shine in us, O Lord. Let your manifestation, that heart of fertility, Lord, oh, we pray for that, Lord, that as your word comes forth, Lord, we shall not be hearers alone, but doers of your word. We ask, O God, that you engrace us, Lord, every weariness, every weakness, Lord, we pray that you, O God, will sanctify our heart, purify us, and Lord, that as your word comes forth, we will bear fruit to your glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' holy and anointed name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we lead us into prayers, I want us to still pray that prayer again. You know, there are some attitude that may cause a man to burst. There are some belief that will cause a man to burst. Hallelujah. New wine is coming to our life today. Amen. New refreshing. Amen. New word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's coming to our life today. But you must delete those old beliefs. Otherwise, when it meets up, It can cause a man to burst. Hallelujah. You are going to pray with just one line. Just pray for yourself and say, Lord, I purge myself from every habit, from every unrighteousness, every attitude that want to hinder your word, that want to fight against your word. In the name of Jesus, new wine in an old wine skin, a old belief, old actions, old way of doing things. God is giving us a new way. Seven vision. This is how it should go. Lord, we believe in your word. We believe in the things that you have spoken. Every habit that want to hinder us, that is contending against your word, Lord, we pull it down in the name of Jesus. We declare that your name be exalted. New wine in a old wine skin. Every belief that we have had before now, that is not working in line with your will, Lord, we purge ourselves from every unrighteousness. The Bible says if a vessel will purge himself, the vessel will be made for the master's use. Lord, we purge ourselves from every habit, from every attitude, from every behavior that may hinder us from walking in your vineyard as you have ordained us to be, that may hinder us from serving faithfully as you have ordained us to be, that we may fulfill the purpose of God, that which you have called us to fulfill on earth, that the angel name be praised and be glorified. Jesus, we worship you. Lord, we exalt your name. Lord, we glorify your name. We say, blessed be God forever and ever. Father, we thank you, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. I want us to still pray. The Bible says, and Jesus arose. He commanded the storm. He said, peace be still. Jesus arose and he commanded the storm. He said, peace be still. I want us to pray for marriages. Every storm fighting against marriages, fighting against relationship, husband and wife, father and sons. Lord, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We declare that the power of God will come forth. And Lord, every hindrances, every power contained against marriages, contained against our health, Jesus, arise in this place. Arise in your power. Arise in your glory. Arise in your grace. Lord, we cause every storm contained against our home, against our health, against marriages. Peace be still. We declare that the peace of God that transcends all understanding rests upon every one of us. Rests upon every marriages. Rests upon every businesses. Rests upon every health. Everyone that is having a challenge, we command the peace of God come upon you. In the name of Jesus, Satan will hear the voice and they will run out of their hiding places. Every strange manifestation in marriages, every strange manifestation with regard to our health, I command you, get out in the name of Jesus. Let the presence of God be revealed. Let Jesus be exalted.
God, Father, we pray for your glory, O God. Let your name be exalted, O God. Let your name be lifted high, O God. We pray this morning, everything that will bring hindrance or argument in every home, we destroy this morning. We destroy this morning. We destroy this morning. The book of Isaiah 58 from verse 8 says, then your light will break, then your light will break forth like the dawn, Almighty God, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Begin to ask the Lord, let there be healing, O God. Let there be healing, O God. Let there be tangible manifestation of the healing of God in every home, in every life, in every family. We pray for your healing, Almighty God. Father, we want to see you exalted, O God. Father, we pray, O God, everyone that is sick in this morning, O God, touch them, Almighty God, wherever they may be, O God. We send forth your healing. We send forth your healing. You said by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, Almighty God. We pray, O God, let their healing quickly appear, O God. You said none shall be barren in your land, O God. We pray this morning, O God. Father, we destroy every form of illness, O God, pain in the bones, pain in the body, every form of cancerous cell, pain in the mind, Almighty God. We destroy tonight, O God. We destroy
Let's continue to pray. Let's begin to thank God. We have been praying from 9 a.m. today. We have started prayers from 9 a.m. Let's begin to thank God for what He has prepared for us. Let's begin to thank God for everything He has ordained for today's service. Let's begin to thank God. Open your mouth and thank God. Open your mouth and thank God for what God has prepared for you. Father, we thank you for that which you have prepared for us for today's service. We thank you. We lift you high. Lord God Almighty, we have started to pray from 9 a.m. and you are God that answers prayers. We thank you, Lord, for answers to our prayers. All that we have requested, oh God, concerning today's service, we know you have done them. We say thank you, the eternal King of glory. Thank you, the God that parted the Red Sea. Thank you, the run, oh God, God Almighty, that turned Red Sea unto dry land. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, because we know you do much more than we can think or imagine today. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Let's wave unto the Lord. Welcome the Lord into this meeting. He's enthroned already. Just welcome him. Wave unto the Lord. Let your hands stretch out. As someone that believes, this man, stretch your hands out. Welcome the Spirit of God. Declare his lordship over your life. Tell him to be seated with you in the heavenly places. Declare his lordship over your life. Declare his lordship. Even he has been here from the beginning of this service, but declare his lordship. Tell him to take over. You release everything to him this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The psalmist says, come, let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. And that's what we have been doing since morning. And extol him with music and song. Choir, when the time comes, all you instrumentalists, it must be jamboree. Amen. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all the earth. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain's peak belongs to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flocks under his care. Today, says your neighbor, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Amen. Because I believe that the voice of God is going to speak to you. Speak to us, as he's been speaking since we got here. And he's going to speak to you from the chorister. He's going to speak to you as the instrumentalists take their lead. And he's going to speak to you when the man of God is here to minister the word. And I'll say today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. With that in our heart this morning, with an outstretched arm, let's read the book of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwelleth therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his heart to what is false, nor swear deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty is the King of glory. Amen. Psalm 145, please. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. people are happy to be here in the presence of the Lord this morning. How many people are happy to be here in the presence of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah! Give you glory, Lord Jesus. Sing glory.
Glory to glory to glory.
Balance.
Every Sunday. Among us. Can you just give it a fall back? We thank God for what God has been doing among us. Very interesting. I think the marathon has rolled some people away to Hyde Park's corner. It's a very interesting thing, marathon. Something started in Greece many years ago, and then it's all over the whole world. That's interesting. Similarly to Olympics, you know, in the days of the great Greeks, where we thank God that we have legacy. If someone can start marathon, can you, somebody who knows that place, you take over that machine, please? The guy there back off. I'm hearing ambience behind my voice, and it shouldn't be. I've told you, whenever somebody is not accurate, take him out, and somebody who knows it on Sunday. Let your heart learn it. That is the key to success. You will never forget till you die. That's the key to success. And you cannot just buy an appliance and start to operate it without learning the manual. Neither can you be a good sound engineer without understanding the theories of sound. Amplitude, sine waves, you know, how these things relate into acoustic, to electric signal, to acoustic. You must know those theories. If you don't know the theories, you will be messing about in that place, because when something happens, you don't know what caused it, you will not know the remedy. Amen. You did answer me.
Yeah.
All right, now let's chat. You know, I was talking to you about this marathon, today's marathon. Marathon came from the brain of one man. But the whole world do it now. Olympics had its root in one man, man's thought. And before you know it, the whole world is celebrating it now. And I can tell you many more things, like today everybody in England is rejoicing, celebrating, you know, when they were showing those people who had been riding Olympics, they showed the fire brigade running with their fire clothes, they showed the parliament and the MPs who broke the record of the MPs, and he was on BBC talking, and you had other people who you know, participate in this marathon. And we were talking about all of them. And they show some of the MP running. Amen. Because all of them want to break the MP marathon. Now let me say something to you, therefore. You may be saying that, what is Apostle talking about? That's what is up in England now. All these things have their roots in the brain of one man. I believe very much, if I tell you today that you are more than what you think you are, in that your brain are ideas taught by God, which could be solution for humanity today, and which could be a pedestal for others to survive for the generations to come. And this is what we have been speaking about when we are looking into the life of Jesus during this session. On Friday, I remember that we started on Tuesday, when we looked into the book of Ephesians, isn't it?
Yes,
come on now. We looked into the book of Ephesians while we were looking at the weapon of your warfare. And then we recognized the fact that when we read through the book of Luke in the midweek, we came about a statement Jesus made, which has been a challenging statement. And the statement is the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 40. And it says together, shall we read it together please? I want us to read it again. And who was speaking?
Jesus.
And who, about who was he speaking? Two characters are there. You know why Jesus said this? One of the reasons why he said it is because the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can tell you from evidence of the scriptures, nothing under heaven can hinder you but you. Once you are born again, those who are born again cannot be stopped by demons. They cannot be stopped by conspiracy of man. A lot of people have lied a lot about the devil. In this house, we help you to know who the devil is and know who you are more than who the devil is. Because the Bible tells us this. When a man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are passed away. It says, all things holistic have become new. Isn't it? And then he told us the philosophy of that all this newness and the transformation from the old to the new is from God. Why did Paul say that? So that no one can be left in controversy. All this is from God. It's not because somebody conducted deliverance or somebody said something to somebody. No. When you are in Christ Jesus, you have an experience called new creation experience. And the old has gone, the new has come. But let me say this to you, because I'm taking you to something very deeper about you today. You may find Christians all over the world in various churches who believe that after salvation, there are some other activities they need to conduct. Do you know what? They may be sincere in their heart, but according to the Bible, they are sincerely wrong. It may take them many, many days to be doing what they think they ought to do before the promise of the Word of God can come to pass. For them, someone may go 100 miles to get to a distance of 1 mile. It depends on the route he has gone. But you don't have to. Because if we have to perform other activities so that the promise word of Christ will be fulfilled, then we negate the purpose of Jesus Christ. Am I saying this to you now? So if the Bible says when you are born of God, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, which means that Satan has no power. You want me to give you more evidence in the scripture about this? Look at the book of Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. God delivered us. So if God delivered us, will it be sensible for another man to say, I'm going to deliver you? Did you see that there? It didn't say God will deliver us. He says he has delivered. It's past participle tense. He already had done it. So therefore, the entrance gate into that is once you accept Jesus, you enter into that deliverance instantly. You don't need anyone to pray for you. You only need to really accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you see people all over the whole world, and in many churches they bottle people on, thousands of people are going there for deliverance, it's because they do not have knowledge about salvation. If they die, they may not enter heaven. Because really, the fact with them is that they had not been born again. Okay? So we are dealing with them like we are dealing with people in the world. People in the world can be oppressed by the devil, and we can cast out the devil and begin to exercise over them. But those who are born of God, have only been delivered. And so we only need to show them the new kingdom they are. They don't live under dominion of darkness anymore. That's what the Bible says, and that's what it is. Are we together now? So this scripture tells you and I that God rescued us from domination of Satan, darkness, and brought us the kingdom of light, his Son, whom he loved. If you look at chapter 2 of the same Colossians, and I'll give you from verse 13, because it deals with your sins, and then it deals with the authority, dominion God has given you. Shall we read that verse 13 again together now? When we were dead, come on now, let me help you know this, or ask you this question. Who made you alive? Is it your prayer? Come on then. When we were dead, the deliverance that could not raise you from that dead cannot sustain you after that dead. You don't really need it anymore. I was dead in sin. By the blood of Jesus, I was redeemed. Then I was delivered from my sins. Excuse me. And it says, then God made me alive. God did it. Not man. Not man's prayer. God did it. Only because I accepted Jesus Christ. Not because I'm so excellent and good, but because I accepted Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, we were dead in uncircumcision of our sinful nature. God made me and you alive. And he forgave us some of our sins. All our sins. Excuse me, therefore. So when you are in Christ Jesus, the moment you are born again, you do not have one sin in the book of life that your name is written. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your ancestors were. When you are single by the light of God and you are born into salvation of Christ, this scripture tells you and I that God bypasses all your sins. I have more scriptures to help you know that, because, I mean, you guys, you're Bible students, you understand what I'm saying. So, if this is true, there is no credence or credibility for anybody to say, after God had done this for you, I still need to deliver you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. My father was a wizard, dead in sin. Nobody conducted deliverance of my father. Because if the Son set you free, you guys are not, you didn't worship Satan. All of you, none of you worship Satan. You don't know what it is when we talk about witch doctors and witches in England, the warlords in England. There was a young boy, 13, on the ITV yesterday. They brought the boy at 13. They call him the youngest magician. And the boy said, the day he was born, his father told him that from the hospital, the mother took him straight to the magic that his father is doing. That was the arrangement. That once that guy is born, just bring him straight away to my show. A one day old baby, brought him to the show. And he said that because I was born to become a magician. You know, I was saying this to my mother. When someone is a magician, and he took a one-year-old boy straight to the magic place because he believes that that boy will be a magician. So people don't understand it. You know, those people in the television, you know, God help them. And they just say, that's interesting. They just initiated the boy on the first day he was born. That's what he did in my family. That's what my father did, you know, my ancestors did to my people. Listen to me. I say, well, if that boy, and that boy in the television, in the news, did his hands like this, he did his hands like this, then he did his hands like this, and he did his hands like this, and three things appeared in his hand. And I say, if a 13-year-old boy can do that for the devil, 5-year-old will speak in tongues. That's what's happening in this house. That's what is happening in this house. Am I talking to you? So if you look at it, there are four. What I want you to be convinced about is that it's taboo. Every culture have taboo. Taboo is from the devil. If you decide to live by taboo, you live a life of fantasy that will never happen. Okay? What the Bible says is true, even if what you feel is different. So my Bible says, when we were dead in our sins and in our uncircumcision of our sinful nature, we breathe sin, we think sin. Every time we plot sin, because we are reckless, we are dead. We couldn't save ourselves. We grew up in sin. We were born in sin. But when the mercy of Jesus turned towards us, he delivered us from sin, all our sins, forgave us all our sins. Which means that the consequence of those sins have no more authority over you who have been forgiven. Because in your record, he remembers your sins no more. It's because someone paid the price. His name is Jesus. Because where I'm taking you to this morning, the first thing you must be convinced is that, I said a statement, nothing on earth has power to stop a Christian. No matter how numerous they are, even conspiracy of men cannot stop a Christian. So when people are telling you that, oh, some devil is somewhere, some demons are doing, tell them that not in my own kingdom. The kingdom you are is far above dominion where Satan operates. But for us, of course, the devil will attack us. And if he doesn't attack us, we are also attacking him. Anytime you bow your knees, you destroy the works of Satan, isn't it? Even if for the sake of your neighbors. All right? So to talk about Satan attacking a Christian is not an information. It's just like saying that every human being have nose. It doesn't mean anything. We have nose anyway, if we breathe, you know. So you must understand. Why is this so credible? The next verse tells you something. Verse 14. It says, having cancelled every written code or regulations, the other and with regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing them on the cross. This is how he achieved it. There is the philosophy of it. The reason why verse 13 is true is because the cross of Calvary did the job. The cross of Calvary did the job. And if you look at it, I love it. Just give me that 14 alone. It begins by saying, having cancelled is a past participle tense. It's something that has already taken place. It has had its taken place. Every written code with all its legal demands to oppose you. He took away. He took away. Don't forget that he took them away. He did not set them aside. He took them away. If it was set aside, maybe after some time, it could be brought back. But he took them away, nailing them on the cross. When he died, he took them under. He resurrected and left those sins totally buried. That's why the Bible says that blessed are those whose sins are buried. It's in Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Now if you look at the next verse, says, and what? Heaven, shall we read it together? Heaven. Yes. Give me the King James Version, please. Shall we read it together? Somebody read it again. You know what interests me in this is the beginning of this, or we call it in multimedia production, the opening sequence, the beginning of this sentence, and the closing sequence. He said, and heaven already done. Spoil, principalities, and power. It does not matter what class demons belong, or what class somebody who speak for devil belong. He will either be principality or power. Okay? But the Bible says that Jesus spoiled. In another word, alienate. He destroyed. Totally destroyed them. Principalities and powers. And when he destroyed them, he said, he now paraded them armless before those who inherit salvation. Am I talking to you? Your enemy have no power over your life. If you enter a shrine, the day you step your feet into that shrine, no more demon can operate there. It will take them a long time if they can equip. Your presence in a place, all right, put the devils to run. I'm not saying you are praying now. When a child of God enters a place that is infested with evil spirit, they run. The one that remain are the one who live inside human beings, and they are threatened, afraid that you should not see them. You may not see them with your eyes, but your spirit man can just say Jesus without your control. Once you say that, hell for all of them. They are put to flight because at the name Jesus every knee shall bow. Especially when your spirit responds even without your knowledge. Or just start singing the song, oh the blood of Jesus, and that's it. Chaos and calamity, confusion in all the whole place. When a Christian is coming to a shrine, the head of the shrine is afraid. The moment he sights you, he's very afraid that don't let him come in here. That's who you are. You carry their God in your body. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Inside you. But you see, it says here, the weapon of Satan, when it is turned towards a Christian, is now powerless. Listen, therefore, haven't you reminded this now? Let's now go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said in that Luke 6:40, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So, it is the will of Jesus that every Christian become like him. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, Sunday school. In those days, they do Sunday school for children. But in these days, we do Sunday school for everybody. We always sing songs that want to be like Jesus, isn't it? I will have various versions of I Want to Be Like Jesus. And when I was young, like 12, 13, they told us a rhyme, a nursery rhyme, that Jesus went to church, they gave him sugar, he ate it. And one for you, one for me. And I thought that Jesus ate sugar, really. It's when I grew up older, I discovered that there's no sugar in church. Hallelujah. Come on, let me tell you this. Jesus wants you to be like him. That's it. Which is great news. But I want to say this to you. You will become like him fully before you drop dead.
Amen.
You are the miracle the world is waiting for.
Amen.
Remember I told you on Friday, you are a work in progress. But if Jesus says we can be like him, the teacher, a student is not above his teacher. We don't seek to be above our Lord. Neither do we seek to be above our master. We cannot. We only desire to be like him. And that is enough. And it says here, but everyone who is fully trained. So which means that anytime you come to church, you are coming for a training. Am I talking to you? That's the reason why I say things that you like, things that you understand, things that you already can confirm that, yes, I'm there. And then I take you beyond where you are and tell you things that you are not yet. Okay? But those things are the things you aspire to become. Because the life of a Christian should be a progressive training life, so that you are going from one level to the other. It's like somebody who grows. If you give birth to a child and the child is just 2 feet tall, or about 3 feet tall, and you keep feeding that child and the child refused to grow taller and the child remained like that, it didn't grow bigger, it just looked like a baby. I'm sure that the whole world will be worried. Not only the parent who gave birth to that child. After sucking milk, he's now eating beef, he's now eating vegetable, he's now eating, you know, who knows what they eat, you know. Some of the things that you eat, we can't mention them, like ground rice and mal and the rest of it, but I did mention, no worry. And then the child remain a child. You'll be concerned. I'm sure that all the doctors of this world will want to do experiments on that child. And the child is not growing, it is not speaking like a man. Something will be very wrong. So it is in church. Every day you get a training, you add values today to what you had yesterday. And tomorrow you add another value. Every time you sit down and read the Word of God, you add an information for training to your life. You are not looking for the Word of God as a storybook. You are reading the Bible to look for something that you can add to your life so that you can become what the Bible is saying. That is what the church is about. The church is not about exciting people. Of course, we are excited in church. It's not about feel good, man. Though we feel good in church. But when we feel good, we feel high.
high in the Holy Spirit. And when we hit the height of the Holy Spirit, we begin to prophesy. We cast out devil. We lay hands on the sick. And they are healed. And then we declare things that are mystery. And they are so. And Jesus wants every one of us to the high. And we will get there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I say we will get there.
Amen.
Now let me help you with this, therefore. When I was looking at these, I checked out what is it that made Jesus what Jesus became. Of course, we know in that book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good. But look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The substance in Christ that should be desired by all Christians. The substance in Jesus that should be prayed for by all Christians, young and old. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and power. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Come on now. I think we should read it together. Let's read this together. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom. No. Understand this now. What distinguishes a man on earth that we call him genius is knowledge. Isn't it? Contemporary, we study the same thing. But somebody among us who study the same thing just came up with an innovation that nobody knows. And then he has to teach us how to reach that. That person has excelled in knowledge. There was a time that on earth, when it was said that somebody invented a plane, it was like a toy. If you go and I allow you to go and do research on invention of plane, the guy just ran like that with that wing stuff. It was like a toy. And then that plane was allowed to run for some time and then it landed shortly. But that guy is seen beyond that wretched plywood he put together. He was seen jet bombers. But he did not understand how he can get it done. He was seeing jumbo planes, jets, flying, carrying passengers from one nation to the other. But he, the resources he has cannot fulfill it. Now, having that man set up that skeleton, some other guys came up who had acquired more knowledge, and they put their knowledge together to begin to manufacture steam engines and then from there combustion engines and stuff like that. And then they thought, we can put it in this structure and it can fly. And before you knew it, it is the excess knowledge of one that gives birth to the manifestation of others towards the direction that one brought. But it's that person who has the excess knowledge who tells you what to do. Listen to me. For a success on earth, you need a dose of knowledge. To be in a position of doing things right before the eyes of everybody, you need a dose of wisdom. That is what was outstanding in Solomon, that even today, everyone who studied law, you will be taught about him. Whether you are a believer or not a believer, it will be mentioned about the judgment of Solomon when you look at jurisprudence. Now, let me tell you this now. So, therefore, you need understanding to be able to put knowledge together to form substance. All right? That is understanding. You have various ideas, but to form something reasonable out of your ideas, you need understanding. Because it's your understanding of each component of your knowledge that will bring the knowledge together under wisdom so that you can invent something that is necessary for humanity. Now, I tell you this. Look at this.
You need counsel. And you need power. That is the spirit of counsel. I think the spirit of counsel works in a way that it brings solution to disputes. It resolves the unresolvable when there is a dispute in the area of understanding. And power manifestation, you need it. Because by power, Jesus healed the leper. By power, he raised the dead. By power, he got the lame walking. By power, he healed the blind. But do you agree with me? All these spirits that God has in his disposal. Mommy and I were discussing about that in the car this morning. The book of Job said, God gave man knowledge and he tunneled. And he goes under to bring in stones like gold, emerald, and rest. He said, but the animals tunnel and they just walk over those things not knowing the value of them. Are you with me now? I think that makes a difference between an intelligent man and a foolish man. Because the things that those who are intelligent make money off are things that people who are foolish just ignore. They just feel that, you know, you don't, that's nothing. But an intelligent person will look at it and say, no, this looks useless, but there is a use in it. We can use this and make money. That's the reason why some people just make money out of rubbish. Garbage. Your poo. Waste. Some people's thoughts. They have been wasting this thing. Alright? And they came about to recognize that even there are some researchers now told us that we can generate electricity from poo. Did you not read it on television just within 2 weeks? And the guy who said it, there's a guy in Nigeria now who, he will take, with people who poo, he's not in England, he's a Nigerian, he never traveled in his life. And he didn't read too much, but he read, and he has sense. He took poo, where the Sockaway, and he's just felt that, you know, in the Sockaway is gas. And then he piped the gas, and then he did some filtration, and then he plug it into, you know, cooker, gas cooker, and he's using the gas like normal gas, and he's telling people in Nigeria, don't buy gas of the government anymore. Let me use your poo to make your gas, and you won't pay. And he has already done it to some houses. He's not educated as in the professorship. Excuse me, somebody. Now, let me tell you why I'm saying all this. The underlining factor that makes distinction about Jesus from all these inventors is the last statement. And the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord. Not the fear of man. What distinguishes Jesus from all those who have knowledge and wisdom on earth is the fear of the Lord. Now, can I say this to you? You see all this fear, all this spirit, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord together, they live in you. They live in you. Let me help you know this. Don't forget I told you. You are God's workmanship. The Bible says. You are prepared to do good works which God has ordained for you. Don't look at yourself now. Look at the word. Okay? If you are a bad man, let me tell you. There are people who are badder. They are worse than you. And they are preaching the gospel today. Worse than you. Oh, I'm the most timid man. Excuse me. The boldness in the church of God was the most timid yesterday. I remember in those days when I wake up in the house where we live, there's a corridor and you have houses, rooms like that. And then they will take off the lights in that country. And then our house is at the beginning, you know, because, you know, we are a bit well off. The first house in the front of the house is the most expensive with two rooms, say a room and a parlor.
But the kitchen is always at the back. And this is Alfred. My sister would deliberately say, go and bring the salt. And the salt is in the kitchen. And I will come out and I will look at the corridor. Very short corridor. And I begin to say in my mind, there could be spirit there. There could be ghost there. There could be this there. That, you know, those thoughts will begin to go in my mind. And I will say, oh, how can I? How can I? Okay, so what I'm going to do, this is it. I will run. That's all the knowledge Alfred had. And I will run through that corridor. The day my father saw me running, the corridor said, what's chasing you? He said, you this boy, do you want to kill me? What about if you trip over? I said, ghost. My brother said, where is he? How does he look like? So when my father saw that I'm a running boy, he now took me by 2 a.m. He would wake me up. Get up. Follow him to the outside. Then he began to teach me about who a Christian is to who demons are. Because he served demons, they walk with him. Now he's born again, and angels walk with him. And he began to show me the scripture. Because I had fear when there is no reason to fear and nothing to fear. It happened to you before? Come on now. Come on now. Do you know why those things happen? They told us more about the devil than of Jesus. They told more about the devil than angels. Angels look like astral figures to us. You have to show sanctimonious to see them. You have to fast to have power. That's what we're taught. But let me say something to you. What happened between that time and now? Go back to that, my look. I have been trained. I've been taken through rugged training. When I was growing, when my father exposed me to rugged training, he made me confront fear. That is it. He took me and brought me to where fear is, and that is for to fear. That was how I was trained. But when I got to the age of 12, it's a new Alfred. At 12, it's a new Alfred. So you can understand my own training ground. Okay? In those days, they have masquerade, they have what you call here carnival. It's masquerade, my friend. Okay? When the voodoo people or okra people say nobody should come out, my father would bring me outside and say, come and face them. He said, they are human beings like you. And when they mad, going mad, and they come to the front of our house, they see my father. The one of them who cannot be discerning, and he became reckless, my father will say a word, and you will see that man on the floor begging. And my father told me that they are nothing. Then my father will tell the person that I was before with you, among you. He says, now with Jesus. And you see them move. Then I learned faith, and I learned boldness by everyday training that my father gave me. And you know what? That's why I'm training you the way I'm training you. Hey. The Bible says there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, the law of spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. If God be for us, say it loud. Say it loud. You say, who can be? Is what can be against us? What can be against us? If God be for us, what can be against us? Romans chapter 9. If he did not spare his... chapter 8. If he did not spare his son that he gave his son... Choir, you should be able to tell me now. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. What is it? How shall he not give... You see them now, the blues up. Now, come on, let's talk. So, they sang that song. If God did not spare his son, that he gave his son to us, how shall he not, along with his son, give us all things, including victory in every battle? You can fix it.
but it's by training. There are some people who told they are Christians and they make you fear all this useless stuff. Oh, there's a witch in your house, and so what? If you're a Christian and there's a witch in your house, is that not a bonus? Excuse me, is that not a bonus? Why are you born again? Is it not to get those who are in the world saved? Is it not to destroy the powers of Satan of the world and get people into the liberty of Christ? And you have one in your house. Good. Start the job there. At 12, I knew this. And the Spirit of God drove me. I sat my mother down one day. He told me all the stories about how this idol in their family had done about. So I decided to go and see that idol. I went to the shrine in my mother's village. Got there. I said, where is the shrine of my mother? Ah, the priestess saw me. The other one wearing white began to dance and welcome me. And she was happy and took me to the shrine. It's always, you know, Satan doesn't have house. His house is outside. Yeah, or in the bush. And when I got there, they called that is his bar. And they have his shrine. And I said, is this the spirit that possessed my mother? And the woman told me the story too. I've confirmed what my mother told me. That she was the priestess as a virgin. She said, now, Jesus took the woman and the idol had brought the man. And she told me how excited that is. So, and I went to the other shrine called Ogun. That is whatever it may be in Greece. And I took the one of the pillars of that shrine, put it out. And I went to the shrine of Baal. Smash! I smashed the god of Baal to pieces. The woman fled at 12. You know why? They taught us about Jerubbaal, Gideon. That drove me. That if Gideon can do it to his father's idols, I can do it to my mother's idol. And when I destroyed the shrine, nothing happened. I did not pray when I went. I did not pray when I came back. And nothing happened to me. Because when you accept Jesus Christ, ultimate goal is to be like him. You know, those of you who are young in age, I want you to know this. If that Isaiah told us about this spirit, I want to let you know that age is not a barrier for the Holy Spirit. Whatever age you are, you accept Jesus Christ and you follow him right, the Spirit of God will rest upon you. You know, I told every one of you who have accepted Jesus truly, have that spirit. But let me make a distinction. To accept Jesus means to follow Jesus, not to follow the world anymore. Because you are delivered from the world, isn't it? You are delivered from the dominion of darkness. You are now translated to the kingdom. So, Satan ruled the world. Jesus ruled the church. So, if you say, I'm a Christian, but you do what the world does, it's because you are not yet born again. That's it. You're not yet born again. Don't make a mistake to die. Am I talking to you now? Nobody can say, I belong to Oxford University, and then go and report in University of Greenwich to look for lecture. Say, oh, we didn't see you in lecture hall in Cambridge the other time. Oh, yes, I did lecture in Greenwich University. Oh, then the next time I ask you, but there was a lecture yesterday, you didn't come. Yeah, I did my lecture in London University. And at the end of the day, you want to file and get certificate from Cambridge? So you cannot say you're a Christian and do what you like and then expect to come and receive what God has said. You're just not part of them. That's not part of them. You cannot follow Jesus and follow any celebrity. There'll be no more celebrity. Jesus is the only celebrity. You can't follow any culture, any custom. Jesus is the only custom.
Your heart will be to follow your commanding officer all the time. Your hunger will be to be like your commanding officer all the time. You want to study the life of Jesus so that you can manifest Jesus all the time. If you don't have such, it is only because you have not had encounter of salvation. And you mustn't die. Because if you have encounter of salvation, the things of the world you will hate. The things you used to do before, you will hate. You cannot say you are in Christ and you love those things. It's not possible. He will cut that love off from you, and that love will not be for Christ to become like Jesus, to become like Jesus. And that is what guard your heart and your life of sanctimony. They will not beg you to come to church. You will not run after success. You will not run after money. But money will run after you. Success will run after you. Come on now. Hallelujah. Your age is not a barrier. Let's look at just one scenario, and I give you two, and then we stop. Look at the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 17. The story of Daniel is that he went into Babylon as a slave with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young boys or teenagers. At the time, probably within 13 and 15-ish. But it says, the king now decided that, look, I want to recruit some of the refugees or foreigners into my service. And he gave statistics about those children. Okay? And this also, I will tell you that from this story, it tells you that whether you are a refugee in a country or you came there by virtue of a crisis or whatever, the hand of God is behind it. Let me tell you. If you read the life, the Bible, and you read how God operated from ancient time, when God was going to bless Israel, there was a famine in the land. And only one place, there was no famine. Because God has set an Israelite there who was sold by his own brothers as slave. Okay? All this is by the hand of God. It's not a mistake. You know, some people say that, Joseph told his dream. That's a mistake. Tell your dreams so that you can reach your destiny. Amen. That's the scripture. Whoever hates your dream is his business. God will use that hatred to take you to where you're going. If Joseph kept his dream, he would never land in Egypt. That's the hand of God. But he got to Egypt. It wasn't good. It was terrible. But he was still faithful to Jesus. And he became... They didn't call him prime minister, but the next to the king. He really was the one commanding the whole country. The king just said, I will just be, you'll be my mouthpiece. And what God used is the spirit of wisdom. Only on Joseph. Look at these two boys, three boys, four boys really they are. He says, these four young men, about their 17 teenagers, God gave what? Knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature. And so, do you know something? Therefore, you have five spirits in that book of Isaiah, which you have: spirit of knowledge, wisdom, counsel, understanding, power, and there's one again: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, power. And then you have the fear of God as the denominator. You have all that, but these people have only two from it. Only two from it. They came in as slaves. And the Bible says, the spirit of wisdom from God and knowledge from God will help you understand education, academics. You don't have to cram it. You will have it in your head. Anything you turn your heart to read, you will gain knowledge. You don't be praying that, hey, this dull brain, oh, forgetfulness. No, no forgetfulness. It's on you. Just two of it. And if you look at, he could interpret literature and learning, and could understand also dreams of all kinds. So it works in the secular world, and it works in the academic world, and it works in the spiritual world. So if I were a young man, that's what I would look for. These guys are about 17 or 18 at the time. And that distinct them in the whole of Babylon, that they became the ruler in Babylon. You know, Daniel served under several kings. One king will come and die, he continues. Another king will come and die, he continues. Another king will come and die, he continues. Just by two of what you have. Now let me help you know this before we close. If, go back to that Luke. If the Luke says, therefore, it is by training that we become like the master. Can I appeal to you? When your pastor preaches the word, take him as your trainer. That may not be just me. No, for me in this house, you know, I don't spare the truth. I claim my rights. If you believe it or not, once you step through that door, you come here for me to train you. By force and by fire. Say amen.
Amen.
And I will hit you below the belt. Say amen.
Amen.
I was a boxer. I know how to give you shadow boxing and then give you a knuckle and then rub it very well so that it goes into your membrane and then at the end of it, hug you. I used to do that when I was a boxer. After we finished giving one knockout and the guy, his mouth has gone like that, we leave the ring and we hug one another, isn't it? The coach will say, the referee will say, okay, hug yourself, isn't it? And you have just beaten the guy to stupor. You hug him. Hallelujah. If that be the case, once you enter that gate there, and the Holy Ghost did not let you go back, the devil was fighting with you that you can't enter that place. And God gave you the grace and you opened that door. The first thing you hear from me is a punch to balance you. Whether you like it or not, you must go to heaven.
Amen.
You look at me. Whether you like it or not, you will do the will of God here.
Amen.
Do you know why? I can't afford you to be wasted and I can't afford you to fail in life. I have passed through it, and I know there's only one way, and it's Jesus. The earlier you discover, the better your future is. I know it. So, in Christ the Tabernacle, we have no option. We are bound to obey God.
Yes.
We bind ourselves with an oath to walk in the fear of the Lord. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And that's what we do.
Amen.
Satan can mess up here. And you mustn't give him a foothold. These people, only two. And Jesus said, you and I must be fully trained. Come on now. When you get to my give you a case studies today, but how do we achieve this training? You must recognize that in the commonwealth of training of Jesus Christ, you are vital. You must know that you are a very, very vital person. There are five things I will read to you just to write down, because we'll close probably about 10 minutes, I should. Yes. Let me give this to you. You know, for us to be able to operate, I spoke about the spirits, the five spirits and the underlying factor, which is the sixth one, the fear of God upon you. But you know that wisdom, knowledge, counsel, understanding and power. Where, if I ask you, in human, do they operate from? It's your mind, isn't it? It's your mind. Wisdom cannot function without a process in the mind, because your mind is what is responsible for physical action. Yes? Knowledge cannot function without a process in the mind, because your mind cannot speak. Your mouth cannot speak unless there are thoughts through your mind.
Yes. Every decision you take are function of thinking, but the residue is in your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But before any information goes to the heart of man, it is processed in the mind of man. So therefore, you will agree with me, therefore, that when you are born again, you are a spirit, you live in the body, you have a mind. Human for your human intellect, but you have a soul for your spiritual intellect, because your spirit has a soul. Now I told you this, and I'll say it again. When we get born again, we still have a human mind because we have body, but then we have now received another mind, which is called the mind of Christ, so that we can operate these six dimensions of Spirit of God. As in Isaiah 11:2. Am I talking to you? So, you will now recognize this, that my human mind is the mind of my flesh. That's why I think about sin. That's why I can be tempted. That's why somebody can hit me and I can think about seven things within 1 second that I can do to reply that person hitting me. Alright? Because it's human mind. That's why I can raise my hand to revenge, and then something brought my hand down. That is the mind of Christ. I decided I'm going to strike like this, and something said, after that, you cannot. And I reframe. That's the mind of Christ. And that's what Paul said in the book of Romans, that there are two personalities working in me. My former person, which is of sin, and my spiritual person, which is born of God. And it says, who will deliver me from this flesh? Now, therefore, if we get that look right, it means this. Those of you who have been able to manifest more of the power of God, of wisdom, of knowledge, is because of your ability, the extent of the mind of Christ in you, you have been able to succumb to. Am I talking to you there? Because in the mind of Christ is perfection, and we have it when you're born again. But we still have our human mind, which is still of our flesh. And so, when we speak spiritual words, we are training our human mind to be free from the sinful nature, so that we can put to death the sinful nature in us and train our human mind how to respond to the mind of Christ inside us. That's what we're doing. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
When a lecturer is giving you information, it's because he's trying to flush out all what's is contrary in your mind, and then begin to instill these new ideas he's teaching you. And the more you buy into the new thing, the lesser you become common. And you come to a place whereby you are in the same position like your lecturer, and he can say, can you come and lecture the whole class on this issue, because I've read your papers, come and read lecture. And your lecturer will sit down and say, wow, I've been reading these papers. But when you first start lecture, you don't know those things. You don't know those things. Now I submit to you, therefore, the rate of your growth depends on you. You believe what I say? Say amen.
Amen.
There are some people who preach in church, they never turn to that sermon until the next Sunday. So by the time we tell them this on Sunday, the one of last Sunday, they've forgotten it. Parable of the sower, sort it out. Happy, very excited, but never does anything. And they can be in church and be telling some people that I've been here 15 years. You just came here 3 months. I've been telling you that, you know, I've been here for 40 years. What do you think you know? Like I know. You just came here for 5 years. Whereas your 5 years, you have educated yourself, educated your mind, you have added values to your mind, and they've been here for 40 years only to be hearing the same thing. Excuse me. That's the reason why somebody can just come to church 3 years, 4 years, and is manifesting the power of God. And somebody can be here 15 years and is still watching. Oh, they say he's anointed. Go and check it in the King James Version. The same word anointed in the NIV is used, is in the King James Version is used as unction. It is you who have to decide how much you want to get. It is you who can decide how much you can grow. It is by taking the information you have, cleansing you of yourself, of the past, and then entering into the new thing. So that everything you hear in church, you put into practice. That is training. And that is what will bring you to the higher dimension with Christ. But if you look at this, in what I'm saying, every one of us have a part to play. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Number one, we can all aspire to be like Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I think I can tell you this, summarize it, that the amount of the mind of Christ that we can operate determines the level of Christ where we are. So when you are praying that, Lord, grant me power, increase my knowledge, God is saying that use the one you have. Apply the one you have. And we are praying that, increase my knowledge. He said, I've given you so much knowledge. Come on, do something about it. That's what God is saying. And when you say God answered your prayer, you manifested a power or a knowledge. It's only because when God answered the prayer, what happened is that you woke up from your stupor and you began to use what you already have. It's not that God gave you something else. He has given it to you already. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. So therefore, you and I matter a lot in getting ourselves to the height that Jesus wants us to be, which is his own plane. Now, write this down. You're going to study this. I want to look at, before we meet again, read the book of Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. And the second scripture is Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Let me read the first again, Luke 7, 11 to 17. You will tell me what happens there. But what I want to look at is the heart of mercy or compassion of Jesus. The heart of mercy and compassion of Jesus. And when we come together, we're going to see how that is applied in these practical stories. And also search the scripture and tell me some stories in the Bible where the compassion of Jesus was applied by Jesus Christ. And we want to do that so that we also can emulate the mind of Christ as in compassion. You will see how easy miracles happen. How easy God can use you for healing, for anything. Because you adopt the mind of Christ. So now write this down also. Number one, you must see yourself in this age as part of the solution. Every one of you. You must see yourself as part of the solution of what God is saying to the church. Number two, you must ask yourself, what do I have to offer? See yourself as part of the solution. We're going to look at this, especially when we look into our agenda plan. Then you must ask yourself, what do I have? That is, look inside you, don't look outside you. Look at yourself, not the other person. And look at what God. Every one of you have these five spirits in you, and you have the sixth, which is the fear of God in you. Check out what grace God has given to you and identify it. If you cannot, in this church, within the next quarter, this quarter that is we're going in now, we will help you to identify your grace. Alright? Every one of you, even children, I will go to the children's department and help them identify their grace. You know that I can operate in prophetic and know all this stuff. So if you don't know what you are, I'll tell you who you are by the Spirit of the Most High. Number three, you must identify your areas of gift and grace. Number two, I said you must ask yourself, what do I have? That you search yourself, discover. And number three, you must identify your area of gifts and grace. All right? So that you can use it. Number four, Your effort is greatly needed to attain your height. Your effort is greatly needed to attain your height. You know, the final one is you must add values on a daily basis to your life. Don't wake up and sleep without adding some knowledge. Can I say to you, those of you who are in university, what I'm telling you, you know, first class does not mean the best students. You know? First class just means that a student who understood what the lecturer wanted and I gave it to him. That's all. Am I talking to you? But it's good to have first class. But you know, when you have first class, people who will hear about you will expect that you know all. Am I talking? So you cannot have first class and come out and you don't remember what you did to have first class. And they now ask you a question about the career that and you say, okay, I will go and do research. No, a first class student, we expect him to just know. Be ready in season and out of season. But I tell you something, you don't have to be a first-class student to know this. If you add value to your life daily, that is, whether you came out in first class or third class, whatever class, whatever your study, your business, your career, make sure that every day you know something more to add to your value. That is what distinct people, when they go for interview and they are promoted, that is what pick up somebody who is your colleague, that you are all manager, and you just apply for the job of a director. I said, no, you have many people to, many other office, levels to get to director. He said, no, I'm going for that. It's because he adds value to his career, his life on a daily basis. It's a secret to reach the top. It is a secret to excel in everything. And it's a secret of the spiritual. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, I will open the floodgates of heaven, I think it's 12, and I will pour out blessing upon your hand. It says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain in your land in season, and to bless all the works of your hand. So God cannot bless more than what you have. So if you want God to bless what you have, bless you, he will ask you, what do you have in your hand? What you have in your hand, he will bless it. You said, bless my mind, is look at what is it in your mind to bless. So if you have residue in your mind, then he will bless it. So if you make every effort to add to your values on a daily basis, you will see how astronomical your knowledge and wisdom, your understanding, discretion, discernment, power will increase. And we can change this nation. I say we can change this nation. We will really change this nation. Shall we stand up together and pray? Father, we exalt, magnify your holy name. Jesus, you said it, that a servant cannot be above his master. But by constant training, he can be like his master. And in that, you are talking to those who believe in you. Father, no wonder. The Son said, if you have faith in me, you will do the things I've been doing. And greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. Lord, and we know that you send rain of blessing, but upon the works of our hand. Today, I pray, the little that we have as residue in our heart, the little that we have in our hand, according to your word, let the rain of heaven fall upon them. Somebody asked me yesterday, how can I overcome apathy? And I said it very clearly. It is by adding values daily. These five things are said. If anybody recognizes that he's relevant in his society, it will drive that person to wanting to do something as to affect the society for good. If anybody can see himself as part of the solution, not the problem, he will confront every problem and you will be able to give him incentive to solution. O Lord my King, I ask for the Spirit of the Most High to set ablaze all this deposit he has put inside us. In the name of Jesus. As Jesus said, we can become like the Master. Lord, I speak to safety to rise up in the power of the Most High. I decree, Lord, that the eyes of everyone will turn to the cross of Calvary. And we will behold you, Lord Jesus, in your fullness. And that shall be our driver to destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peradventure, somebody is under my voice that was diagnosed to be sick. You are healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you have been oppressed in your mind, you are set free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you have been abused by evil spirits that continue to make you defy your temple, the temple of God, in sexual immorality, you are free in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have been captivated by the spirit of this world, that you always want to be like bad people, you are set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of Satan that is sent to war against your human mind, to drag you into the pit, I disconnect them from you in the name of Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Be set free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Your labor shall not be in vain. However, you will labor. I say you will labor. Be hard to work hard. Receive in the name of Jesus. Optimism. Optimistic heart. Receive in the name of Jesus. The heart to believe that you cannot fail as long as you are in Christ. Receive in the name of Jesus. The desire to be completely like Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As you go in this week, the Lord will go ahead of you. The blessings of God will accompany you. It will overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed when you are sitting down. You'll be blessed when you are standing up. You'll be blessed in your home. You'll be blessed outside. You'll be blessed in the works of your hand. You'll be blessed in the thoughts of your mind. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Holy Spirit will take over your thinking realm. He will bring you thoughts according to the destiny God has given to you. Resources come in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive resources in the name of Jesus. Receive resources in the name of Jesus. The Lord take you in this week from where you are to where you ought to be and establish you as a covenant people for the nation. You will be on top. You will never be beneath. You will always be on top. You will never be beneath. You will be the head and you will never be the tail. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May the glory of the presence of God rest with you. Both you and your children, you shall be called blessed. The word of God in your lips and the spirit of God in your heart will not depart from your children and your generations to come. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I plan, it shall be, as I purpose, it will stand. The Lord will cross the Assyrian in your land. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The thoughts of God for you shall be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The purpose of God for your life shall stand. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You go this week to be a success. As we are going to the end of the month, you will not lose out. You will not miss out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I rebuke the virus and I rebuke every spirit of hell. It is written, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. Be warriors in the name of Jesus. The Lord will train your hands for war and your fingers for battle. He will grant you victory in every battle. So shall it be unto you. Those of you who suffer from nightmares, you are set free in the name of Jesus. In your dream, the name Jesus will come into your mouth. It will come out as fire in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The enemies who surround you and attack you in the dream will flee before you in the name of Jesus. You come to church because you desire God. Everything Satan set up around you to oppose that, I command them to collapse around you. The wind of the Lord blowing them off.
You will attain the height in God in the mighty name of Jesus. Your life will be a testimony to your contemporaries. So shall it be. Blessing will single you out this week. Glory will single you out this week. Honor of heaven will single you out this week. The presence of God will go with you in this week. And you will succeed in everything you lay your hands on. So shall it be, and so it is. In Jesus' anointed name we are praying. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. I can hear that song. This is the air I breathe. Promised us wealth and power. That is from the year 2024 to 2027, and it's already manifested. If you are coming for the first time, I want to welcome you into this great promise of God. It is already happening. And so I want you to have a focus as we go to the end of this month. My desire, not wish, is beyond wish. My heart for you is that before you see me on Friday next week, which is Overcomers Night, you will have a testimony. I bend my knees daily, and God is my witness, to pray this for you. Void your brain from anything than center on Christ. The Lord Jesus is about to do something in this house that will shake the ears of Great Britain. You are the miracle and the wonder. There's nothing that can limit you, I tell you. Together, we will get there. God bless you and see you in the week. Please be seated. Maybe I would like to welcome the visitors myself, and then Pastor will come and take some. Please, let's be seated. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, it's my great pleasure and honor to welcome you. Could you please wave your hands? It's the first time you are coming into this temple. Anybody? Please stand up. Let's welcome you. Let's welcome you. Any other person? Please, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming.
And the ushers have a pack that they will have handed over to you. And we want you to fill the form in the pack. And please fill the form and drop it with us at the reception. This is Christ Faith Tabernacle International Churches. You are very, very welcome. And I'm sure the Lord has blessed you. Please, let's be seated. I will ask the pastor to come, and then after we have the announcement so that we can be familiarized with events of the week. God bless you, Pastor. Pastor Ben. Put your hands together for Pastor Ben.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Daddy. Offering time. I'm going to read a scripture, just few scripture above the key scripture for today. Just Luke chapter 6, verse, we read 40. I'm reading 38. These words came from the mouth of Jesus. Like our Father and the Lord just told us. Jesus said that a student is not above his master, and everyone who is fully trained will become like the master. But before that, the verse 38, please, in relation to giving. Luke 6, 38. Give. It was in the same vein when he was teaching, he gave this insight. Give and it will be given to you. Most time in churches, we link this scripture when it comes to offering. But the Bible did not give us whether it was offering, money, or whatever. But in relation to what our Father just taught us, it says, give, it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Amen. That means so clear that Jesus said that if you want to receive, you and I must give. Hallelujah. So I want you to bear down your head. As we are getting ready to give to God, God has given us, look at the secret of the kingdom that came to us this morning. The gift of life God has given to you freely. We are not paying him off, or we are not tipping him as an appreciation of what he's given to us. First, the gift of life, and to give to him for what he's blessed us with. The details has already been projected. Those of us that want to give electronically, and if you're here, you want to give by the envelopes, please, can you lift up your hands, indicate so that the ushers will serve you. But I wanted to talk to God. You heard the servant of God spoke so well that the extent to which you succumb to the mind of Christ will determine what comes out of your life. And one of it is that give and it will be given. He said one thing again. The word of God is always true, even though your experiences and what you feel might not be. The word of God is absolute. So you want to talk to God that, God, thank you for the privilege to give. I am giving because you are my Savior. I am giving because you are my Lord. I am giving because I love you. You first gave yourself to me. Those of us that are bringing our tithe and our pledges before God, you also want to talk to God. Father, we want to thank you. We know that you are the perfect teacher. And just as you spoke through your servant, a student who is fully trained will become like the master. We saw that you were a perfect giver. You gave your life, you gave miracles, you gave gifts. And you give gift to us. And so we emulate that lifestyle. And this morning we have gathered at the mount of the Lord with our substance, expressing our love and thanksgiving for that which you have done. May it be accepted before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we be upstanding, please?
Amen. This is one of our songs for the season. Amen. We're going to declare we're the head and not the tail. That we're more than a conqueror. Amen. We shall arise. We shall shine for the glory of the Lord. God will bless your name, O God. Say, I am the head.
The holy offering brought by your holy people. Let your holy fire come from above to consume this holy sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we receive? Deacon.
Thank you, Pastor. Shall we take our seats?
Amen. Good afternoon, church. Oh, sorry, I think it's still morning. Good morning, church. I'd like to do a very, very quick test. Who can remember the scripture of the day? There were two scriptures. The very first one, it was Luke 40. Can you put it on the board for me, please? It says, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. We've all heard this from Apostle. He began preaching this from Friday. The question to you all is, are you willing to be trained? So if I make a mistake today, note that I'm training. That's the reason why I've read that scripture. I am nowhere near Pastor Fumi. Neither am I anywhere near Pastor Tayo. So please, bear with me. Our Father in the Lord has welcomed first-timers already, but I'd like to welcome those that joined us online. So if you have joined us online from any part of the world, please send us an email. The email address is admin@cftchurches.org. Tonight at 8 p.m., we'll have prayer and communion with our Father in the Lord. Please join online through Zoom and YouTube. During the week, we'll have prayers on Monday in person at Bethesda and Cathedral, 6 p.m., 6 to 7 p.m., and 7 to 8 p.m., respectively. On Tuesday, we'll have JTA starting at 7 to 8 p.m. at Cathedral, transmitting online from 8 p.m. Now, JTA, all ordained leaders, if I'm correct, are expected to be there, unless otherwise you are at work and you are not able to be there. But if you are not working, you don't have any reason not to be there. On Wednesday, we'll have Bible study at online at 7 p.m. with our mother in the Lord. On Thursday, in person at Bethesda and Cathedral, 6 to 7 p.m. and 7 to 8 p.m. And online will start from 8 p.m. On Friday, the 26th of April, we'll have Overcomers Night Vigil starting from 9 p.m. An apostle already prophesied that before Friday, Overcomers, we'll all have a testimony to share. Amen. And on Sunday, we'll have a Thanksgiving service. It's usually joint Thanksgiving, and that is on the 28th of April, 10 a.m., and it's at Cathedral. PVM Retreat. PVM, as we all know, is Prophetic Voice Ministers Retreat, which we have annually at Birmingham Hilton Metropole. The QR code is on display, so please scan it if you wish to go. Deposits are due by the end of April. And that's it. So thank you all for listening. I would like us to stand up as we invite Apostle, please. Our Father in the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. I perceive that the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and counsel is already manifesting. So many preachers among you in this house, including you who are laughing. What a great God. Can I just say to us that from the 1st of May, I will begin what I introduced to you some time ago about giving reflection. I will tell someone, any one of you, to just come and share with us for 10 minutes before I preach on what you learned a week before or within the month. So please, everybody should just get ready. Maybe in a month, there are some things that really resonated in you, which you now started working on. And I'll just call you out to come and give that reflection. But don't run away, because I said that, you know, it's going to be easy for you. You know, at least it will make every one of us hang on something. It could be one of the scripture you are reading in the week, just to begin to expose, especially those of you who have been sitting at the back of the pew and you say nothing, but you have a lot inside you. So it would be an atmosphere as a family to train and raise many more leaders, because the harvest is here. And the Lord will help and strengthen us. Shall we just put our hands together as we read the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, thy power, and thy glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now shall we read the Hebrew grace together, 13, 20, and 21. Now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Now read Corinthians to somebody standing beside you. Look at them and say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now. And to yourself, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And may the Lord answer you where you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May God send you help from his sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May God remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offering. May God give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. The Lord will send you help in this very week to execute the plans of your heart. We will all shout for joy when we are victorious, and we shall be victorious in every battle. And we lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, may he open a book of remembrance concerning you. When we shall meet on Friday, the overcomer's night, it shall be time for your testimonies. And may the God of Bethel, who appeared unto Abraham, unto Jacob at Bethel, the God who derived pleasure in revealing himself to his children, even on the dreams, may he change your dreamland into the land of encounters with Jesus. In Jesus' holy name we are prayed. There shall be showers of blessing, it will fall in your house.
communion to us according to our confession. Amen. God bless you and see you tonight in the prayer line. If you don't have the prayer line, you can ask them at the reception and they give that to you. Please be seated.